Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Part two of our Wednesday show. We invite you to join in at 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you by text or by phone.
All right. We were kind of preempted earlier today when we arrived at 10 o'clock. Donald Trump was holding a press conference.
Yeah.
It started a little late and it went a little long. And there was some time where his tax advisor, his accountant.
Yeah.
I lost all my notes because you and I took a bunch of notes during this. And we didn't really get a chance to talk about it because it ended as we were ending our show.
Sherry Dillon is Donald Trump's tax attorney. So she was addressing how exactly he'll be able to maintain the position of president of the United States while still running a business. And as it turns out, as she explained to us in painstaking detail, it'll actually be his sons, Donald Jr. and Eric, who will be in charge of the Trump Industries while he's president.
Like he doesn't have anything to do with it? See, this is what's confusing. Anyway, we have Kristen McQuarrie, who has come in to talk about this. How are you, first of all? Happy New Year.
Great. Happy New Year to you as well.
I have a couple of questions about that. And, you know, I don't even know where to begin with this.
I hear exhaustion in your voice. Well, there's a slight little trace of exhaustion.
I guess what I want to say is a listener texted us saying, you know, why are we hearing from Sherry Dillon? Because this was his press conference. And really what she explained was just, you know, anything that he makes is going to go into a trust fund. He is going to remove himself from the operations of it. But when he's finished being president, either in 4 or 8 years, God forbid, that trust is his again.
That's true. I'm not as worked up about the conflicts of interest that could present themselves because there's going to be so much scrutiny on everything that he does that I don't think he'll be able to wade into that territory. He brought the lawyer in because this law firm has developed what they consider to be a firewall between himself and his company. It's really going to have to be sort of a trust factor, which I know makes a lot of us uncomfortable because he refused to release his taxes. We don't really know the extent of his
business
dealings.
And he said it's only that the reporters wanted it. No one else cares about his tax.
Yes, and I would have to agree with him
really?
to a degree because he still got reelected. I mean, he was hammered on that issue for 8-9 full months.
Elected, not reelected.
Elected, I'm sorry.
Right.
Did
That's
I say okay. reelected?
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm already being...
You're 4 years ahead of us.
Very hopeful.
You're a visitor from the future.
No, not that hopeful. But, you know, members of Congress, senators, they are not allowed to hold outside positions when they are in office. So I think there's this expectation that, of course, Trump wouldn't either. And the fact that he's being, you know, he's not just letting it go is troubling. And during the press conference, I don't know if you heard this part, but he talked about how he had just been on the phone over the weekend with someone in Dubai
right.
who wanted to offer him $2 billion
Hussein
in a
someone.
His friend Hussein.
Right, his good buddy. But he said no. I mean, come on. You're being inaugurated in 9 days. And you're still even entertaining phone calls like this?
Shouldn't be doing that.
So,
are we to believe, with all that's at stake with his enterprises, a multi-million dollar, if not billion dollar company, that if some major thing were to take place within that business, that his two sons wouldn't say to him, hey, we have an offer of this or we have an idea about that. What do you think? That will not take place in the next 4 years in any capacity?
I think that's very unrealistic to expect that. We have had very wealthy people run for office before. Mitt Romney, the Republican
yeah.
nominee 4 years ago, he was going to put everything in a blind trust. And we've talked about this. It's the best way to do it. Then you at least have a layer of separation that's not members of your own family. So there are a lot of questions about his business dealings. I don't know that they were all resolved. I think there is some truth to the fact that this is a new situation. He has so, you know, real estate is different than owning a cement company or something. He has debt all over the world. He has properties all over the world. And so to me, we need to give him a little more time. But yes, there are some serious red flags.
Do they have to take the Trump name down? Isn't that kind of a weird thing?
It is a weird thing. And they talked about that, you know, is he going to divest himself from everything, including just the name that is now all over the world?
But they could say But his sons have the same name and they're running the company. So what's the problem with that?
Right. I just think it's unrealistic to expect that your sons-in-law or your sons and the son-in-law who's going to be an advisor are going to create that they're going to have the same ethical standards that someone who is a practiced, you know, a lawyer or someone who does wills or trusts understands that firewall.
And this is totally unprecedented, isn't it?
It's totally unprecedented. And we haven't talked about the explosive nature of the press conference. They did talk about policy. They talked about Obamacare. We were all waiting for him to address what has now come out. CNN, BuzzFeed, different news outlets have released more information about what he and the president were briefed on last week in terms of potential information that Russia has on Trump. And he was asked directly about some of this. It is not confirmed, and that's why a lot of news outlets, including ours, have not run with the details of it. But you can go to BuzzFeed's website and read what they claim are memos about this very intricate relationship between the Trump campaign and Russia. And it's I'll say, as I would in any story that is unfolding, what we know today could be completely different tomorrow, might be very different next week. Campaigns get very nasty. There is opposition research that is often compiled to distort a candidate and to throw off reporters and to keep them on wild goose chases. So I have to be so careful in trying to legitimize some of the stuff in these reports. But in general, there is an allegation that some of Trump's behavior long before he was a candidate, when he was in Russia exploring different business deals, has left him compromised, because it is not unusual for the KGB and other operatives in Russia to try to catch high-profile Westerners in compromising positions and then use that to create leverage or create some sort of an extortion scheme. And that allegation is out there.
And it just seems funny when you said some places have been reporting this, like CNN and BuzzFeed. To me, BuzzFeed is where I go to do like a goofy little survey, like what character of the Brady Bunch are you more like? Mm-hmm. It just seems kind of strange that BuzzFeed would have this information.
Yes, and they are getting piled upon by what you might consider more credible news organizations such as CNN today for putting out on the internet unsubstantiated documents that are absolutely and completely inflammatory and create all kinds of criminal allegations against the president-elect. If you go to BuzzFeed's main page, they have the Trump information, and then right below, you know, how to spice up your sex life
That's
in 2017
I mean.
With someone with a gag around their mouth. So
right.
You do have to take all of this with many, many, many spoonfuls of salt.
BuzzFeed is known more for opinion than for fact. Is that fair?
I think they're known for, opinion, pushing the envelope. It's a younger, more upstart type organization. And as I say this, I also have to keep in mind, it was the National Enquirer who broke the story on John Edwards
right.
and all of his extramarital activities. So I don't want to completely discount them, but they put something out there that is no one has been able to corroborate. And in fact, during the press conference when Trump was asked about it, this is what he said. He said he didn't outright deny the activity. But he said that, you know, when he leaves the country, he's surrounded by bodyguards. He's very careful. He knows that that there will be cameras, you know, in secret places and hotel rooms. He tells this to his security team.
Very small cameras, he pointed out.
Very small cameras that can be hidden.
He went through incredible detail to tell us that the cameras that are hidden are very, very small cameras.
They're very small cameras.
Meaning you can't see them. It's not like, you know, they're hidden in your pillow maybe, or they're very tiny, Bill.
Right. But he tried to make it sound like, I tell my own people this.
Right.
Why would you possibly believe that I would engage in conduct? But he didn't come out and really say that he had not. And there wasn't a good follow-up question to that. He said, you know, I was in Moscow for Miss Universe. I tell my people all the time to be careful. Does anyone really believe that story? I'm also a germaphobe. Next question.
Right.
So
that's easy to deflect and be funny. Do your information and your research and go to BuzzFeed and find out the story, and you'll understand the germaphobe comment. But he's not, I don't know, maybe I'm different than Donald Trump, but I would say there's absolutely no truth to that. you know, let people investigate that all they want. You will find out that did not happen. He never really said, I did not do that.
He did not. He did not say that about the conduct. He opened the press conference. One of the first questions was more general about the leak. I mean, it is disconcerting that if this is true, somebody within the security community released this to the media or has been slowly leaking it out. He did say that it was a disgrace that it was let out. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen. My opponents, sick people, put that crap together. But that's about as far as he went in just generalizing what is in that report. And it's not just that. It's the whole idea that perhaps going forward, is he compromised? And is he now the subject of a federal investigation, which is what he went after Hillary Clinton for the last 6 months of her campaign, Crooked Hillary?
Didn't they structure it interestingly and probably very advantageously? You put Sean Spicer up there at the very beginning. For people who don't know Sean Spicer, he's the incoming press secretary to Donald Trump. And it's a name that I'm sure a lot of people aren't familiar with, but boy, are you going to hear the name Sean Spicer a lot over the next 4 years. Talk about a guy whose work is cut out for him. Sean Spicer's work is cut out for him. But you had him up there to defuse it and to condemn it for the first few minutes before Donald Trump came up, which structurally was a very, very wise idea. Because then you think it's going to come up at some point. But if you have Sean Spicer come up there and talk about how awful it is that all these fake news stories are popping up right now, that was the way to play it, wasn't it?
Oh, sure. You want to put as many layers between Donald Trump and that allegation as you can. After Spicer came up, then they introduced Mike Pence. They did a long piece with the attorney describing the different conflicts. There were questions about Obamacare and some substantive policy questions, but still lingering, and we still don't know a lot of this that will come out as the days unfold. But just the question of whether or not there was really coordination between the Russian government and the Trump campaign. We don't know yet, but these little leaks keep coming out that seem to substantiate there's more to this than perhaps we knew initially.
All right, let's take a break. Kristy McQuarrie is here from the Chicago Tribune. If you have any comments or questions, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Kristy McQuarrie has joined us. She writes about politics in the Chicago Tribune, and there's a lot to write about today, isn't there?
It's quite a busy day.
I would imagine.
House Speaker Michael Magan was just reelected to his 150th term as Speaker. There was one member who stood up and voted present, which was kind of gutsy, you know, given the landscape.
Yeah.
Everyone else voted for him. It's been quite a busy day,
I would think.
All right, I have a question. We're not going to reveal dirty little secrets that could or could not be true. You can go to BuzzFeed.com. Is CNN carrying the details as well, or no?
No, CNN is kind of pushing back. They got thrown into the mix at the Trump press conference, and Trump refused to call on their reporter for questions, and so they've spent a lot
fake
of
news.
The,
That's
it's
what
fake
you
news.
Guys
they've
do.
Spent a lot of the day trying to defend themselves, saying we have been very careful not to perpetuate anything that we don't know to be true. So,
all right, if this does turn out to be true, and basically what I'm saying is if there's some information that Russia, Vladimir Putin, someone has on Donald Trump that could hold it over his head to basically blackmail him and get Donald Trump to kind of be their puppet and do whatever they want, is that something that is against the law and would prevent him from being sworn in on January 20th?
I don't know that there's anything, and these are all big, big, big ifs. Again, the Trump campaign has said has denied it. In fact, the Kremlin put out a press release this morning also saying this is a bunch of hogwash, so we have to be very careful. But if there is any hint that there was some sort of illegal communication or illegal espionage and the Trump campaign was a party to that, that could be something considered to be an impeachable offense.
And then does Mike Pence just get made president on January 20th? Say something happens to Donald Trump and he's unable to serve, an injury or something. The election has happened, so then it would be...
That's the constitutional order of succession, yes. And I don't want to go too far down this road. as a little caveat, even covering Illinois government and politics for as long as I have been sent on wild goose chases. Yeah. I have been trying to track down whether this governor candidate was having an affair with this person, whether this governor candidate. I mean, this came to me and other reporters in true opposition research. It looked verifiable that, you know, this person had a child out of wedlock. I mean, all this kind of stuff does happen, and it turns out to be untrue.
Right.
So we have to be very careful about what we might even be implying. I think what we do know and can say is that, and Trump said it at the press conference, the Russians, he does believe, hacked the DNC's email system,
yeah,
and released all the emails on John Podesta. And that did put a huge kink in Hillary Clinton's campaign at the last minute. It was more, I think, propaganda based than anything illegal or anything that, I mean, campaigns do this to each other. The RNC would probably love to hack into the DNC's email system. So at this point, we do know that that is true. I think we have to see how this unfolds. Maybe Congress will set up a special committee to investigate all of these allegations, and we'll get more information that way.
Another question I have, which I don't really understand. So the Democratic information was hacked and was released and perhaps prevented Hillary Clinton from winning. We know that now. How come we don't demand a recount or say this election was tainted? I mean, I just find it shocking that we say, okay, yeah, it was hacked. That might have helped him win, but so be it.
Well, that's the missing link. There has been no measurement to determine how that hacking impacted the election, if at all.
Right. And perhaps it didn't.
And perhaps it didn't. I think it made her messaging difficult during some of those moments. But did it change voters' minds? Did it make some voter in Michigan switch from being a Hillary supporter to a Trump supporter? You can't measure that kind of change. And I think, having watched the election, Trump won because he tapped into a mentality of middle-class America that had been left behind, and they were not influenced by the Kremlin or any of the propaganda that the Kremlin might have been trying to put forth. And in fact, some of the initial reports that the FBI has released suggest that Russia does what it always does with U.S. elections, which is try to undermine our democratic process, not even necessarily favoring a candidate. I think they thought all along, like many of us, that Hillary Clinton was going to win.
Yeah.
One of the initial reports says they had a hashtag ready to go, RIP democracy. But that was if Hillary Clinton won. So it's more just, this is an authoritarian, mm-hmm, I need to go back to government class, regime in Russia. They try to delegitimize democratic elections and our process every day.
Let it happen. And it looks like there's nothing we can do to prevent it from happening again.
Well, the DNC did not have proper equipment to take hacking seriously. Obama has indicated he's going to sanction them for this behavior because there does seem to be this link. And we, you know, cybersecurity is, you might argue, our biggest threat. We do need to do more about it. We get hacked by the Chinese. We get hacked by the Russians. Trump is correct when he says that. But you know, he also downplays all of the context that this happened within.
Wouldn't you say with Donald Trump, there's an invincibility about him to, no matter what information is released, some of it true, some of it not true, so many of his supporters just don't seem to be fazed by it, no matter what it is.
He's almost unembarrassable.
Yeah.
So that's where some of this information would have to crawl into illegality.
Right.
You'd have to see some sort of illegal communication. And there was, you know, he did hire a campaign manager back in March. Remember Paul Manafort? He fired Corey Lewandowski. Paul Manafort moved up. And then Manafort had all these connections and advising the Russian government, perhaps getting paid in an advisory capacity, and he was let go over the summer. So there's a lot more to be known about what actually occurred, and I'm sure Trump has not done himself any favors by continuing to discredit the intelligence community. Look, I think the intelligence community is fighting back.
Yeah. Really quickly, today he wouldn't take a question from the BBC. He wouldn't take a question from CNN. Are we to believe now that while he is the president of the United States, he will look at those news sources and other news sources as illegitimate and just not address them in a press conference situation?
Maybe today, but he'll change his mind tomorrow. And he's done that all along. He cherry picks his questions and his favorite reporters of the day.
All right.
I guess everybody does that. And sports people do that.
They do. I mean, I've been ignored at press conferences, too, because of something I wrote and I made somebody angry and they're going to blow me off that day. It's kind of
and it's just kind of that day, though, right?
I would say there are some, you know, there's some stonewalling that goes on continuously with administrations. Don't get me started
on trying
to get information out of.
But if you're CNN, you say to yourself today at a meeting, you sit everybody down and go, what are the next 4 years going to be like? If I know you say he can and would switch, but think about it. If you are a news source and you go, our job is to cover the president and he refuses to address us, that makes your job nearly impossible.
Well, you still go to press conferences. I mean, you can, the White House, the Oval Office, I mean, that's our property. That belongs to taxpayers. So you can't necessarily stonewall people from not being able to attend your events.
Just not take their questions.
You just don't get the little nibbles. You don't get the little scoops. You don't get the little heads up that the favored reporters get.
What does he need the news, the press for? He's got his Twitter account.
Yeah.
He can just do his own press conferences.
He does.
There.
His base loves that. I keep saying once he's sworn in, I can't imagine that security protocol would not absolutely require that to be taken away. I mean, there are some...
They got to.
I would think.
Kristen, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. It's Kristen McQuarrie. Read her in the Chicago Tribune. A quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.